Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Ladies, gentlemen, MBs, the time has come. This is the Eat, Sleep, Elite, Repeat podcast, your weekly AWWN breakdown. Introducing first, the man of the hour. Now rise up and feel the power. It's Gnarly
Charlie.
Oh my goodness.
How's it going there, brother?
Dude, we are doing A-OK. Garrett, this was our... last week, man. Next week, we got Full Gear, where we're going to be doing some predictions. We got a Full Gear after show. We're going to be covering
all this
shit.
End of the season again already. Holy shit.
It's nuts, man. I am ready.
So how is this going to work? Are we going to do, because we've been talking about the Pillars of Chaos episode, and we've been talking about the awards show, which obviously we have to figure that out as well. So are those going to be the last couple episodes? Well, actually, the one we can just do whatever. But like, is that going to be the last episode of the season? Is like the season awards or like?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. We'll probably get our awards out. Maybe like, because AEW might have. We'll get our awards done after Winter is Coming. So probably the week after that, we'll do two shows.
Okay,
we'll do our Eat Sleep Elite and we'll do our awards, and then yeah, this Pillars episode. I'm thinking. God, maybe January we start the new year off with our Pillars.
That's interesting because it could change. Like, who knows? We might have different Pillars by then, you know?
And
I had a document, cool. I had like a whole like system worked out, like when we first talked about this, and I have no idea what I even had in that, and it's gone now, but I had like a whole system I was going to use to like, how do I quantify a pillar? But, and that's going to be interesting because I'm sure we won't just do like, male wrestlers like we did before, but we'll do like female wrestlers and tag team pillars like that. Well, it'll be interesting, but yeah, speaking of interesting, there was a lot of really interesting wrestling this week. But before we get into all that, there's just a couple of orders of business to take care of. First of all, you can follow us both on Twitter. You can follow me at Bane Duke, that's BaneDuke on Twitter, and you can follow Charlie at Charlie with an X instead of an A. You can also find us on pretty much every podcast platform out there. You know, whichever one you're listening to us on right now might be one. It might be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, or iHeart. Anyway, I was like, which one am I missing? I was like, which one am I missing? And I think I got them all. But
yep, we got them all.
I got the Schmeet smacking. Anyway, I don't know what that means. But anyway, but yeah. So there was some wrestling this week. We always like to start off the week on a positive note, which is something that, you know, what's funny about that. When you first came to me, for those that don't know, when Chaz first came to me with the show forever ago, like hey, we should do this. That was one of the things that you said to me that was like, yeah, I want to like. Do like actually talk about wrestling in a positive way instead of, because it's like so many shows are like, I feel like I watch every wrestling review that's not us, and it's like, oh, I hated this, everything is stupid, and I want everything to burn down in a fire. And it's like, no, you don't.
No, yeah.
What are you talking about? Like,
and I yeah, and I ahead. Remember thinking when we were doing our movie reviews too, that was something we'd always try and do right away, is we'd be like, all right, so here's what we thought about this movie. Here's our overall thoughts about it. And then we get right in. We like, what was our favorite things? And then let's go on beyond that. So with our wrestling show, you know, we do this weekly. And I wonder, I'm curious how everyone else feels about this. Like, we do this weekly, and immediately, you know, when you listen to our show back to back, you're going to be getting our favorite two segments. And then we go breaking it through everything else. And we mention stuff along the way. It's just, I really like that. I feel like it gives a nice little – nice little friendly start to our show.
Exactly. Speaking of which, what we do have here is, you know, it's a little even ski week. So that means that I'm on the bump, as they say, when referring to a pitcher that's in the starting position. So to throw the first pitch, I will go ahead and go with a bit of a curveball here. And to make one more baseball reference, I think these two knocked it out of the park. And that's a home run for me. Anyway, we had Roosh versus Bandido, and I don't know that this match was like announced. It was just kind of like, hey, these two guys that are good at doing the lucha wrestling are gonna lucha, and we were all like, fuck it. So which is the best way to do it. So yeah, and I like that they referenced all the history that the two of them had in Ring of Honor throughout the course of this match. And right now, I don't know about you, Charlie, but it feels like the AEW Ring of Honor lines are starting to blur a little bit.
They get the little Ring of Honor graphics, but that's about it.
Well, I just mean in that, like, the rosters are basically, like, there's not two rosters anymore. It's like, it's all one roster. Like, and like, you might get a match on Rampage. On This Is Rampage, baby!
Rampage!
You might get a match on there every week that's just a random Ring of Honor match, whether it's a title match or just like a random match. And I don't know. It's just really good stuff. Both of these two have had obviously an extensive history, like I'd mentioned. So they've obviously got a lot of, you know, they know how each other's movesets work and stuff like that. So that was able to be implemented into this match. There was some really good heavy striking. I loved that Roosh, because again, the history, like they did, Bandido went to do like the delayed suplex spot that lasts like 10 years. He just said, no, we're not doing that, because he's like, I've let you do this to me before. We're wrestling for like the 57th time. We're not doing this here. I was saying to you before we started the show, actually, that I thought this could be a great, feud to continue on, past this point in the maybe even in the future of Ring of Honor. I was saying to you, like, I throw this on the upcoming Ring of Honor pay-per-view. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be a throwback to when these guys challenged for the title against each other. So
absolutely make that a number one contenders for the next, you know, whether it's Jericho or whoever comes out of with the championship.
I want to say Bandido actually won it off of Roosh. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that during this match.
That was during Bandido's the COVID
title
years,
reign that yeah. We ended up getting interrupted before, obviously, because he couldn't defend it or whatever reason at the one Ring of Honor show. I forget why he couldn't be there, but he wasn't able to be there. I don't know if it was injury related or whatever, but where they had like the two championships, and eventually it was Bandido versus, I think, Gresham. And I think Gresham won that or whatever. Anyway, but they just did some great, I wrote it in my notes, as incredible trading back and forth of offense. I wrote this as lucha explosion in my notes, which is a pretty good way to describe it. Like, from jump, Roosh just dove straight out of the ring, which is now, like, I think that's a regular spot from him. But every time he does it, I'm just like, oh yeah, I forgot Roosh also does the flippy. Like, he doesn't always flip. He's great because he could do an entire match without flipping, and he does this occasionally, where he does an entire match without doing any lucha shit, and you're just like, oh yeah, this is just a brawler. Like, his match with John Moxley, like his match with, there was someone else heavy hitting that he went up against, maybe it was Kingston or something like that, and he just doesn't, he didn't do anything besides what we expected him to do, and that was just, you know, match the style in the ring, and it's what makes Roosh such a unique and versatile wrestler, because you can put him in against different styles and it'll work. So big win for Bandido in this match, which I wasn't expecting, actually. Roosh has been on kind of a roll, so I didn't expect him to be losing anytime soon. And if anyone's going to do it, make it Bandido. Bandito's like on this unstoppable. Bandito's got the crowd. And I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this is Bandido needs to be on TV more. So this is not.
And something's telling me he will be. So catering off of this match, we had the Bandido is officially All Elite graphic from Tony Khan. So love it. We love to see this. And man, you're totally right. This was rather, it wasn't the longest match ever, but it didn't need to be, because they got all their shit. And Bandido was just money, man. Bandido prints money. I'm so glad he's in AEW. Like, really, give me Bandido and Phoenix now. Give me Bandido and Dante Martin. Let's just start running it.
Bandido versus AR Fox on Dark.
What a good week out of him again. Yeah, man, I'm with you. Really good match. So I think
oh, there was also a really clean discus elbow at one point by Roosh on Bandido. That was really good. This is a really good spots in this match. Like, I just,
yeah,
good all around match. Wasn't super long, but again, I don't know. I don't need every match that I enjoy to be a 20-minute Broadway. I love those matches. Charlie, you know what we didn't do? Shit, we never watched that. I never saw. So I'm just trying to figure out where that FTR match that we were talking about happened at, and I'm struggling to figure that out because I couldn't even find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like a recent New Japan show. Yeah, I haven't gotten around to that either.
I'll have to look into that.
But now Bandido moves on. He's going to face Ethan Page next week. That's two of our guys, so I'm looking forward to that.
This makes sense to throw these guys in this spot, and
you got an early prediction here? This is a tough one, man.
This tournament's kind of weird. Like, I'm
going to the final. I still think
Ethan Page is same. Going.
I'm thinking Ethan Page goes to the final from this side.
I think that's the easiest thing to see on the bracket because he's so being pushed right now. But I mean, like,
it just makes sense to get Ethan Page and Ricky Starks on the pay-per-view and get them in a match against each other. It just makes so much sense.
On paper, that match just sounds so great, yeah. Especially because of how tight they are, too. Like, again, it's like the same thing as why, you know, when we talk about Eddie Kingston versus Ethan Page, you know, that we'll get into, you know. I think it helps.
So, jumping into my favorite, we're going to hop back over to Dynamite. We're going to go with the main event. The 2 out of 3 falls, Brian Danielson, Sammy Guevara with Tay Mello. And Brian wasted no time here. He got a pin fairly quickly. And before they went to the first commercial break, he got a pin. That was kind of impressive. So he gets that out of the way. I believe it was Guevara threw a chair at Danielson to get intentionally disqualified. And then Guevara continued to assault with a microphone, and that's how we go 1-0. So that's how he goes up in the charts. I said pin, but you know what I mean. We come back from it. Danielson's all fucking bloody. Guevara then he gets a pump knee and a GTH. They tie it at 1-1. So in my mind, right away, I was kind of thinking, oh, damn. Is this going to be one of those main events where we just kind of like fly through it? Like, how fucking quick is this going to be? So then eventually Mello gets taken out. And I think then the match really starts to hit into another gear. And the last, like, I don't know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, it was just back and forth. These guys were pulling everything out of the bag. Sammy had a really clean shooting star press off the top to the fucking floor. And like things like that. I mean, they were just going back and forth. Excalibur made a Thunderbird Brett Como reference. And that fucking blew everyone away. But dude, the double jump cutter, it wasn't able to get it in. Brian got the cross arm breaker, transitioned into the LaBelle lock. The crowd goes nuts. When we have a crowd going this fucking ape shit for LaBelle locks, it's shit like, I just love when the crowd does this, you know? So, yeah. Eventually, Guevara gets into Walls of Jericho, which gets some good heat, gets a good pop. And
the heat.
Danielson ends up hitting his, what was it called? The Basuka knee?
The Busaiko knee.
Busaiko knee. The knuckle lock led to Guevara hitting a moonsault DDT. Went for a swanton and Danielson got the knees up. Anvil elbows led to the LaBelle lock. Guevara refused to tap. And then Danielson cranked the arm and he verbally submitted. Just, I think getting Sammy Guevara, this is doing numbers for his career, by the way. Getting these kind of matches under his belt will only improve him. And to get these on his resume, it's a big deal for him, man. And I'm glad Brian won this. Because he's, you know, both these guys are going in the full gear, and I know you and I were kind of low key hoping Brian would be the world champion when all this was going down at that last show between him and Moxley. But yeah, man, another really good main event, Sammy Guevara main eventing, and also Orange Cassidy main eventing again this week. Fucking love to see that.
That was against Orange Cassidy, too. Seems like he's having fun, which I love. Like
he really does. But so, yeah, Garrett, any notes from this match? As you can tell, I really liked it. I was trying to trying to piece everything together here. I kind of got myself mixed up in my own notes, but
it's really easy to do that. So really good stuff. Like there was the sequence you were mentioning, and you're trying to figure out what it was, and it was like you nailed it though. It's he did the double jump cutter, like whatever you want to call it, and it was countered into an armbar submission, which I thought was sick. But then that went straight into a lumbar. I never even thought about that, and Danielson does that a lot. Where he'll use that armbar as a setup for the LaBelle lock, but he just does it so frequently that it becomes
flows, like, man.
Yeah, he does, you know, and Danielson's got such a, you know, diverse moveset that he can do literally 30 different things differently every match, and it'll feel like, you know, you don't ever have to feel like, oh, I've seen this before. I feel like every new Danielson match is a new Danielson match. Like, I've never seen this before, pretty much every time. That's probably intentional. I like that even though he verbally submitted, he also did kind of put him to sleep a little bit. Like he was still kind of out at the end, so that was good. Yeah. Like he held it on just long enough to do that. It's good stuff. Like good overall match. JAS versus BCC is going to run away with, you know, storyline of the year without even, you know, having any competition.
It's just so back and forth and so constant.
There's nothing else that's even been like remotely as featured. So it's, you know, like every week we've had a match pretty much since the two groups got formed, you know, like, which is fine. It's good. It's actually the best thing on AEW TV, to be honest. Like, besides maybe Jade, but she's not on very much. So, but yeah, so that's favorites, I guess.
Yeah, we got a little bit of news here.
Some news? Oh, shit.
Yeah, we got a couple fun things. And, you know, we kind of mentioned earlier, you know, we're some movie buffs here. We do some movie reviews time to time. And we're going to add this one to a list because not only is it an A24 movie, it's a movie about the Von Erichs. It's The Iron Claw. And AEW star MJF has joined the cast. And he will be playing. I just had it. Marshall Von Erich.
You fucked up. You fucked up.
I'm just kidding. Marshall Von Erich is actually one of the current wrestlers. But yeah, he is one of the Von Erichs, I believe. I can't find the actual name now. But yes, Lance Von Erich. Boom. There we go. Marshall Von Erich is a current Von Erich in MLW that commented on it. So he's really cool. And Zac Efron is the star of this. We got Lily James in here. You know, John Campia loves his Lily James. He lets us know that. So MJF, Garrett, going to Hollywood in an A24 movie.
He sold out. No, I'm just kidding.
A24 doesn't fuck around, so that's awesome.
No, like, yeah, I think MJF has been hinting at this in a couple of interviews for a while, that he's been being cast in movies for a little while. So, I mean, like, you know, I'm not surprised. This is just even more leverage for his 2024 negotiations, because now he can be like, dude, I don't have to even wrestle anymore. I can go be an actor.
And he's not the only one. We also had more news this week. AEW's The Bunny will be on more cable TV screens soon.
So I actually heard about this a couple
weeks
ago.
She recently wrapped filming on a new movie for Lifetime. The Bunny, also known as Laura Dennis, will play the role of Axel in Bad Tenant, which is a homeowner renting a room to a seemingly charming music manager who turns out to be a psychotic con man, and she's one of the clients. So, a Lifetime movie. Pretty sweet. So, we got The Bunny and MJF.
Also, who?
Who? So, this is something I'm pretty excited about. AEW, Fight Forever. You know, there's been updates on the game here and there, you know, as
officially
they've come
canceled.
Out,
oh shit. Sorry. Wait, no.
Yeah. As they've come out, we've passed it on here. So here's the thing. This week, there was an original story. AEW's upcoming video game Fight Forever will launch on Xbox Live Game Pass. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Dude, that means I'm going to actually be
means
able to
actually
play
would play it.
Because I wasn't going to be able to afford that shit.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not paying $60 for the game.
I would have totally spent the money on this, because I've actually been talking about playing it on my stream even. Because
that is true.
They know I do a podcast, and I've been slowly melding the worlds together. I don't know why I've avoided doing that for so long. I talk about this, my VTubing on the podcast every week. I don't, you know, I'm a bit of a bitch sometimes. So anyway, you can ask. You can just ask Charlie. I'm really difficult sometimes, but hey, it's worth it at the end of the day, I think. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, I'm really excited for this game. It better not suck. If this game sucks, AEW's done. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
In the mud. So we're going to get some big updates around Full Gear Weekend.
I'm sure. Canceling them if I can't play this game for 15 hours straight, all right?
Canceled. So here, we got some fun news.
I will personally hold Tony
Khan
responsible. Khan,
man. AEW is heading to the United Kingdom, Garrett. This is fucking awesome. Those shows are going to kick ass. The UK crowd is truly one of my favorite things in professional wrestling. And I can't wait to see it. We don't have a date yet, but it will be in 2023. I saw some people online saying,
how big is the pop for Jamie Hayter?
Oh my God. It's going to be nuts, man. It's literally going to be, a Pac is going to be so over too.
Oh my, Pac better be in an All Atlantic. If Cassidy should still be the champion, probably, because it's 2023, right? They could do that. Dude, imagine if that's their January show. Their big January show is a UK show.
Oh. Things could be
New
nuts.
Year's smash in the UK.
Which it would make sense that it will be at Craven Cottage, because that is where the Fulham FC Soccer Club is. So that would all
Fulham.
Make sense.
I would love to see some Fulham players in the crowd for that, too.
They should. So, the Young Bucks, right? We all know Young Bucks and Kenny. We're probably going to see them at Full Gear. Eagerly awaiting their report. Returns.
The Long Dick Brigade themselves.
The Long Dick Brigade. I got a notification on my phone today, and I thought it was Being the Elite, and I like jumped with excitement, but it was a different show.
Oh,
it just
shit.
Looked like Being the Elite, and I like got so excited. But
bastards.
Young Bucks have filed the new trademark, Garrett. The Wayward Sons. Are they going to use
Are they coming out Wayward to Kansas Son? At Full Gear? Is
Dude,
that what's happening?
I swear to God, if this happens, I'm so fucking down.
Kansas, Don Callis comes out dressed the nines. Like, oh.
This would be something special. So, that's our last bit of news. Garrett. You know, we know the role now. So what we're going to do, we're going to go Elevation, Dark, Dynamite, Rampage, dive through all the cards, kind of stop here and there on some matches, give you guys some good thoughts, and yeah, Garrett takes away with Dark Elevation.
AEW Dark Elevation, episode 88, which I believe the commentary team for this was, was it Rick Abani and the big man again? I might be wrong. It might have been Shibani.
Daddy Magic.
Oh, Daddy Magic. That's right. It's been Daddy Magic and Paul White and the Big Show. Anyway,
you're right. Paul White and Ian Riccaboni.
Oh, I was right. I nailed it. See, this I pay attention to Elevation, y'all. I pay attention anyway. We had Abaddon in this match.
Love seeing that.
Picking up. Wait, do what?
I love seeing that.
Oh yeah, Abaddon's been kind of like off and on. I don't know if Abaddon's just been like dealing with nagging injuries, or if it's just been like timing and just not the right. You know what I mean? It's not the right week, and just didn't have to use, because I'm sure Abaddon's there every week for Dark. You know?
Yeah. Oh, it has to be, right?
Yeah, I would think. Got a little more vicious in this one. Got some fish hook action. Got some high leverage block dahlias for the win. I like to see it. And then Charlie, the next thing that happened on Elevation, I actually super popped for. I don't know about you, Charlie. 2.0 in a DraftKings ad. I think I remember saying something on this
that
podcast
was actually
a couple of weeks
cool.
ago about Daddy Magic being a fucking phenomenal idea for advertising.
That was really cool. I wasn't expecting that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I said that because it just makes sense. He's a fucking such a marketable guy. Like, oh my God. Anybody out there that's an advertising person has to look at Daddy Magic and be like, and honestly, and Cool Hand as well. But especially the two of them together, because their dynamic is electric. But you know, just like that little commercial, dude, that I've never been interested in DraftKings, but I was a little bit after I saw them doing it. I don't know. Like, that being said, though, we went on to our next match, which was the Ring of Honor six man championship. That's so many six man titles now. Anyway, the Ring of Honor six man championship match. Actually, was the title on the line in this? I don't actually know. But point is, it was the six man champions. Dalton Castle and the boys taking on the Trust Butler, Slim J, and Ari Daivari of the Trust Butler. So the Trust Butlers, the Trust Busters. The Trust Butler is just Jeeves K. But I'm not drunk, I swear. I literally haven't had a drop of alcohol in months. But anyway, that being said, I do love how much the crowd are into Dalton, even when he's just on Tark. It just makes me wish he was used more. There's so many people that should just be on TV.
The crowd
all the
loves
time.
Him, man.
But like, they just don't have a spot for them. So whenever like Ring of Honor gets TV, Dalton Castle better be like the one of the main features for like this first several months, because like, it just needs to be that way. But I like how Paul White was popped by the boys finally getting names. That was pretty funny. Because it shows how much he follows everything, obviously. Slim J did some flippy shit. We got a little bit of Bring Me a Boy! And
Bring
we got
me
a bang
boy.
Ring for the W. And we had a little interview with we had a little interview with Alex Reynolds. I was gonna say it was with Kip Sabian, but it was about Kip Sabian, because they were having a match later on in the show, and Alex Reynolds was like, yeah. Everyone says Kip Sabian's underrated, but what about me? And I was like, I always talk about how you're underrated. I don't know, but okay, you know. That being said, speaking of underrated talents in AEW, Charlie, we had an Athena squash up next. And we had another Agoon thrown to the heel Athena meat grinder.
That was incredible.
We leveled. She leveled the shit out of her with some forearms. Athena is like snapped, bro. It's happened. I think we can call her a heel at this point. I think it's fair. This is not the actions of a good person. I'm curious to see where they're going with it though, because she locked in that crossface and just wouldn't let go of it. You know,
it really is. I think, man, I love this new Athena character. And like we were saying, I think. Once they bring it to TV, people are going to be in for a well. The people that haven't seen this character yet are going to be in for a real nice surprise.
Yeah, that meat grinder line. I literally wrote that down as soon as the match started. I can't explain to you where the fuck that came from, but as immediately I was like, yeah, this is what I look forward to the most every week is doing this show, I think. But because I get to just have fun. But not that I can't have fun on my stream, but like it's much more in the moment there, whereas in this... like, actually kind of plan out stuff. But anyway, speaking of stuff that was pretty well planned out, we had Trish Adora taking on Ty Mello. She was assisted. Well, I should say assisted. I mean, I'm sure she was assisted in this match. She was accompanied by Sammy Guevara. I know English, I swear. This match was a little boring for my taste.
Which is so upsetting with Trish Adora.
It's not Trish's fault.
I know. They should just throw her into some really high-profile matches and just let it fucking happen.
Yeah, every she's time so she's put good. In somebody like Ty, I'm like, oh, this will be really good. And then it's like 5 minutes and she loses. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Something cool about Trish I learned this week.
Like, it could have been like this next match where they actually gave it a little bit of time. And even though it's two talents that aren't really that well known in AEW, like overall, I mean, Dante's known now, but he wasn't really like 6-8 months ago, you know?
So, something I kind of learned this week about Trish.
Yeah.
Is two things. She was trained by the Dudleys.
Okay, that's
right?
Cool.
And
the heat.
I had to double check this. I don't want to say the wrong branch, but
okay.
She served in the Army for 8 years.
Oh, damn.
So, really okay. Cool. Yeah, I mean, Trish is money, man. I throw her into the meat grinder again, but let him have a fucking 15-minute match this time. I'm down.
Oh, Jesus. That's going to be a new fucking thing. The
people are going to be like, what the fuck?
Anyway, so I'm telling you, I have these thoughts sometimes while I'm sitting there watching wrestling. I'm like, is that funny? Nah. Sometimes I don't write it down, so I guess I will now. Speaking of, like I was saying, though, things that that I think were given time that they needed to actually breathe. I'll get to that in a second, actually, because I forgot there's another AEW heels thing, which is technically different. So I guess I have to say they did do something slightly different, but it still wasn't that interesting. Corporate synergy, yay! Dante Martin took on Eli Isom. Isom seems to be pretty good at mat work.
Yeah.
Like, he mentions of him traveling to get some more experience. Because, like, you know, it's at this point, and you can't, like, pretend like Eli Isom's, like, some, like, nerd. You actually have to be like, okay, yeah, this is a Ring of Honor superstar. Because now people are starting to do, like, research, you know, like, when they have these people on there for one match.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they did a pop-up air raid crash that looked nice, and there was a nosedive for the win. So, Dante Martin building some momentum before it all got... you know, destroyed in one fell swoop by a big meat man. Speaking of Ring of Honor, we had the Ring of Honor Jobber Brigade, which is what I've nicknamed the team of Cheeseburger, Rhett Titus, and Logan LaRue, took on QT, Shoddy Lee, and Cole Carter. We had another fucking banger line from Paul White this week. We have the personality of a stepped on frog.
I love the I love the beef that he has with the factory, QT Marshall. Seriously, it is awesome.
Yeah, they had a flying side headlock. The fuck does that mean? The Ring of Honor guys were actually more interesting in this match.
Yo, Cole Carter was just kind of the fucking punching bag.
I was not expecting that. And then QT tried to cut a promo, but then he was interrupted by, I'm assuming that was the House of Black.
Dude, I have no idea Darby, what I mean, that is.
Darby's already got a match at the pay-per-view, so it's not them.
I think this is someone we have. We wouldn't even be able to guess. I'm guessing this is someone that's signed, that they're going to start a little bit of a program with QT in the factory. So we probably couldn't even guess it. Maybe this is Action Andretti and something new here. Maybe. So I have no idea, though.
Anyway. So yeah, they got interrupted in that promo and he was kind of scared, so they left. They had Eddie Kingston. Yeah, it was interesting. It's something to play with on Dark. It's an actual, something I've been asking for a while, an actual storyline on Dark.
Maybe so. Full Gear pre-show.
Yeah, could be, if there even is one. We haven't had one announced yet. So
get a ground sure zero going. One. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, speaking of people that will be on Full Gear, potentially, or maybe not, we have Eddie Kingston, because you never know with this fucking guy. Anyway, we have Eddie Kingston and Ortiz taking on, I didn't write down who it was. They took on some jobbers. They're a well-oiled machine of a team. Hit some suplexes, Stretch Plum. Eddie's still unable to be contained. This continued over onto Dark, so we'll get to that when we get over to you. We had Kip Sabian taking on Alex Reynolds. He was accompanied by Penelope Ford. So this must have been taped out of order, because I thought didn't they say she got hurt? Or maybe she wasn't actually hurt? I don't know. Maybe she's healed. I don't know what the deal was there.
Yeah.
I never saw any official announcement about an injury, so maybe that was like a storyline thing. I don't know. She just wasn't there. So now she's back, so that's good. Alex Reynolds played a little bit of mind games back and forth between each other. I thought this was kind of like a battle of like the underrated beasts, though. They kind of just hang out on Dark and they don't really get the respect that they deserve. Kip's still in the running for me for most underrated, star, I think, even though he hasn't had much time in actually the rotation of wrestlers this year. But I think he could still get that title. I don't think you have to be available for the whole year to be super underrated, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. It's funny because I must have been having a real tough time with Dark lately or something, because I was like, at least when you put two actual wrestlers in a wrestling match, you're going to get a real wrestling match. So I must have just not been feeling Dark lately. But was it a good Tiger Driver? A good Tiger Driver spot. And then it was an actual match that ended on a roll up. I thought that was good,
Yeah.
Because it was reversed by Sabian. He just got like caught up. He tried so hard. He's like, this is my last shot. And then it didn't quite make it. All right. And then in the main event of the evening, we had Angelico and the Butcher and the Blade taking on Rocky Romero in the Best Friends, who were accompanied by Danhausen and the Bunny, respectively. I'm guessing this was taped a while ago because Angelico was in. And I haven't heard anything about Angelico being at any of the tapings for a while. So, I don't look at all the tapings results or anything, but I feel like when Angelico is on there, it's featured usually, even though he's not like a big top star, they still like Angelico. So anyway, but maybe it wasn't, I don't know. Who knows anymore? We had a shin slicer from Angelico. That was a good submission. They built up a nice hot tag. I thought Blade actually sold pretty well in this match. I think I usually write that in pretty much about every match Blade's featured in. They did a triple knee strike spot at one point. Trent's balls were destroyed. Danhausen got their revenge with a dick punch. And then they got the W. And then Chuck Taylor did a cheeky little chair shot tease on Trent. And I don't know what the hell that was about, but that was fun. That was episode 88 of Dark Elevation. Charlie, take us through AEW Dark, episode 169. Nice.
Hey, yo. Yeah, so This was also taped in Baltimore, Maryland. We kick us off with Zach Clayton taking on Blake Lee.
Who?
Zach Clayton hit a quick fisherman suplex, an elevated fisherman suplex, and got the quick 1, 2, 3.
Bro, Kayla Ross. I can't believe they opened up a show with somebody who's not even a real wrestler. Right? Like, what? Who the hell is this?
Kayla Rossi with the Diamond Sheik took on
her royal thinest, Kayla Ashley Tiavois.
This might have been my favorite match of the night.
That's her royal thinest to you, sir.
Kayla Rossi, and she ended up winning this. She drove her into the mat with a brainbuster for the win. And yeah, this was enjoyable. The Guns took on BK Klein and Jarrett Diaz.
Just gonna blow past that match, so I don't have any time to say.
And the Guns were cosplaying as FTR. Yeah, Colton hit him with a Colt 45 for the win. And yeah, the Guns. Cool. Peter Avalon took on Brandon Cutler. Match of the year candidate right here, for sure.
Nerds. The friggin' nerds. Nerds.
I mean, I got nothing to say about this. I mean,
it's a BT match, man. That's like what it is, you know. Like,
yeah, this is exactly what you'd think it is.
They did funny stuff. Oh, yeah. Great! Yay!
Pretty much. Avalon would tease a chair. Leva Bates came out and yanked it out of his hands, and then Avalon.
What was that about? She's a fucking heel, isn't she? What the hell?
Hey, man, I don't make the rules.
Apparently, neither does AEW.
The Factory, QT Marshall and Cole Carter defeated the Blondes, Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. So Garrison and Marshall kicked us off, and yeah,
Charlie
Marshall came out of nowhere.
Got one question for you:
with,
is it fucking QT Marshall or Marshall?
Ah, I say both. I can't help it. I don't know. Anna J. A.
Yes.
Defeated Cio Nieves. She submitted her with a signature Queenslayer. GG. And Athena threw Diamante into the meat grinder.
Yeah. Wait, there was one more match. You missed the match, buddy. Buddy. There was Kip Sabian versus Marcus Cross, bud.
I actually don't even have that written down.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So what happened here?
They just did a little athletic stuff.
Okay.
I was actually thinking based on this match that I still think Marcus Cross would be a great get for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, agreed.
Kip had a really, really cool moment in this match with the crowd where he kept going up and down with his arms and they were following him, and it was kind of like he was a maestro conducting the crowd.
Okay, that's really cool.
So he's really over with the crowd right now, and I think there's something there. So I really wanted to showcase this match. Book Kip Sabian on the show as more, please. Thank you.
I am totally down with that. And Athena picking up the big dub over Diamante. I had a funny little audio I'm trying to play, but apparently they don't want to work tonight. So, GG. Unless they're spamming over and over in the finished version of this and that, I am sorry. But
if so, it's just even more comedy.
If so.
That's how that works. It's, you know, it's not funny until it's actually funny again.
It was the Peter Parker. I'm going to put some dirt in your eye.
Yeah.
Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Rico Gonzalez. He's building up towards TNT champ Wardlow. The Dark Order, John Silver, Evo Uno, and Alex Reynolds with Negative One defeated Troy motherfucking Hollywood. Ativula and Fulton. Fulton debut here for AEW, formerly of NXT, and had a pretty big role in Impact. So he was in the group with Eric Young. God, I forgot their names on NXT.
Sanity?
There it is. He was in it, and then something happened. He got replaced by Killian Dane and GG. This is the match. Eddie Kingston and Ortiz defeated AR Fox and Caleb Conley with a K. And I was actually pretty excited for this. Honestly, Fox just kind of got in a little bit of stuff, but this wasn't anything too special. And yeah. Conley got manhandled. And Kingston caved in Conley's chest with a few chops, along Ortiz to come in and hit a fisherman bomb for the victory. Interim AEW Women's Champion Toni Storm and Hikaru Shida took on Emi Sakura and Mei Suruga. I think this match was made for us. I'm going to be straight
up. Certainly was made for me.
It was. This was awesome, man. I love this tag team of Storm and Sheeta. And then Sakura and Suruga always put a smile on my face. I always look forward to their matches. So
I've decided what I want the faction that Mei Suruga has slowly been building to be called.
Okay.
Emi Sakura has been building, not Mei Suruga. What am I talking about? I want it to be like a throwback to the old school All Japan stables, and I want it to be called Sakura-gun. And I think that'd be cool. Like, you know how you had like
Suzuki so down with that
and call it Sakura-gun and maybe have Suzuki like approve of it because they have like a little relationship, you know what I mean? So
I
would love that. Hey, maybe call it
I am down with that,
but it's Sakura-gun or something like that. Or maybe if you're trying to put over Suruga, maybe call it Suruga-gun or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Our final match here, Black Bull Combat Club, Claudio Castagnoli and Will Yuta defeated the Wingmen, Cesar Bononi and Ryan Nemeth. And yeah, Yuta and Nemeth kicked this off. There were some different submissions, Nemeth escaping them all. Bononi got in, beat down Yuta using his big old size difference. And this was all about Yuta trying to get the hot tag to Claudio. And once Claudio finally got the hot tag, he just went ape shit, beat the hell out of everyone. And he pinned Nemeth he tapped him with the sharpshooter. So yeah. Blackpool Combat Club, main eventing, it's always a good sign. I mean, that's always going to get a reaction from the crowd, those two. So.
Absolutely.
We'd love to see it. And, Garrett, let's
speaking of things we love to see, let's get into Dynamite.
Yeah, let's jump right in. So, kicking us off with Dynamite, AEW Tag Team Champions, The Acclaimed, and FTR, The Acclaimed, defeated The Guns and Swerve in Our Glory. Garrett, what did you think of this matchup?
Was Macaulay Culkin in the crowd?
He fucking might have been. What did you think of this one?
If that wasn't him, that guy looks exactly like him. Anyway, they cut to him twice, though. That's why I thought it might have been him.
Honestly, it might have been. Garrett, any notes on this one that you had?
Billy Gunn took out Swerve a little bit.
We got
some, oh, scissor me, daddy. Swerve has just got like a unique style, man.
He does.
Which I really like. We had some quadruple corner punches going on. FTR scissored The Acclaimed.
Hey, yo.
Avalanche suplex into a pile. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly how it sounded. That's exactly what happened. They put it on TV. It was wild. TV 14 went to rated X immediately. Anyway, no, the avalanche suplex into the pile looked pretty good. That's a spot I don't think I've actually seen where they actually did that onto a pile of people. And I just thought it was a really good match to open the show with. We haven't had like a good hot 8-man tag start in a while. I feel like we haven't seen a multi-man tag match like this in a while that wasn't like for a championship. So
yeah, I love these things, man. Let's let them fucking cook.
Exactly. So yeah, good stuff. I like it.
Agreed. And I thought of the best parts here. The little bit of tension at the end there too with FTR and The Acclaimed. It's like they know what they're doing, man. That those nice little teases, we eat that shit up. So Morrissey fucking cracking hardwood with one of those big boots was a pretty sick moment to me. And yeah, so after that match,
how are they not using Morrissey, by the way? That's incredible to me. That's like, he's a background guy. Okay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of there right now. So, I don't know. We jump to MJF on the Pardon My Take radio show. And he's just cutting this fucking really sick promo. Of course he is. It's MJF, right? He's kind of comparing himself to generational talents, Bruno Sammartino, John Cena, and The Rock, among others. Doesn't like Moxley, but he respects him because he had to work his ass off to get to where he's at. MJF was born to do this, to act in movies. Wave the flag of AEW and back pro wrestling. Bring pro wrestling back to where it is. And MJF said the spotlight on AEW has always been stolen from him. Listed some examples, and one of the main ones was the press conference. That really stole his spotlight. And saying William Regal
tried to pretend
wrong
like it didn't too for a while, which was kind of crazy. Like everyone would have accepted him saying that sucked, you know, like, but he just decided to be like, nah, fuck you, I'm MJF. And he was right, but it was still like, you know, he had to feel that, you know?
Yeah. This was a tape promo and it really worked, man. God, I'm so glad MJF is back. And this storyline with him and Moxley is really something cool.
I'm really excited to see how things turn out because it's so up in the air. Like, he could lose this and everyone will be like, yeah.
Yeah, he could. And God help us.
People would be pissed because they're like, oh, this feels like the time. But can you imagine how much bigger of a moment it would be if he lost his first title match because he tried to earn it, and then he went and he became even more dastardly of a heel because of that?
Yeah. Well, he did lose to Moxley at the one pay-per-view, so I don't know.
I'm saying,
I'm so torn.
He doesn't have to,
I know,
like,
what you mean by trying to win it legit, though.
I feel like it makes the 2024 thing feel so much further removed from it. I feel like how far removed he is from his championship reign actually does affect that negotiation. Just him having been champion doesn't mean shit. There's plenty of people in the company that have held championships. Like,
yeah.
Even the championships in AEW, like, you know, that don't immediately get to negotiate for high. It means you're a more invaluable wrestler, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Sammy Guevara is getting that much bigger of a contract. I think it's more because of what he's been doing with the JAS, if it is, than him winning the TNT championship, you know, like.
And then so. Stokely cuts one of my favorite promos, another pre-tape promo about growing up with MJF, but he forgot where he came from. Stokely goes on to say MJF's been dick riding John Moxley without a license. He doesn't need MJF, but he's going to do this without him, and he'll see Max in hell. This is why you brought him in, right? The funny video.
Like, Stokely is literally like, so like, I don't know how Stokely ever got released. That's insane.
I can't believe, the guy is so fucking talented.
Well, they released 2.0 also. I mean, imagine, that's got to be the biggest miss of all the releases of just random superstars, has got to be 2.0. Like,
they just let them simmer.
Oh. And they never even used them. That's the Mitch amazing part to me, is they never fucking used them.
It's kind of insane. Ethan Page takes on Eddie Kingston in the title eliminator tournament. So during this match, this is where Tony Schiavone mentioned AEW is going to the UK. And yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking before the show. I felt like this match didn't hit the groove that it necessarily wanted to. And they, Excalibur, of course, ran down the history between these two, ranging from cage matches, I Quit matches, and promotions like AIW, AAW. The crowd, again, super into Eddie Kingston. And yep. Yeah, man, I just...
And Ethan Page is over as a heel right now.
He is. And I think this is the right winner, actually.
Yeah, everything worked in this match. I think everything on paper worked. I think it looked good in the ring. I think the match worked. I think it was the right amount of time. I just don't know why it just didn't quite... Sometimes you have everything going correctly and it just doesn't quite work. I don't know why. Like, hey, I tell you, this match did at least get one consolation prize this week, Charlie. It had a hell of a spot in it at the end. Do you mind if I just go straight to that really quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so the way this match ended was, the only way you can beat Eddie Kingston is with a big gigantic move, obviously, and that's the way it should be. Eddie Kingston's a fucking monster, you know what I mean? So we had an Avalanche Ego's Edge off the top, which, I mean, Charlie, there's only one thing you could say to that.
Damn!
Yeah, so we don't have the sound bites this week. I apologize, everybody, but because, you know, everything likes to break as soon as you have something that works.
It's
literally how
too.
It works, though.
They're working earlier, too.
It was literally, we tested it like 30 seconds before we went live. It's not even a joke. Like, anyway, you can't plan this
but
stuff.
Ethan Page with the Ron Simmons Award, man. Is this his first?
I think so.
Okay. We love to see that. So he goes on to face Bandido, which, that's going to fucking hump. I am down with that. Renee Paquette, she's backstage with Jose, the assistant, Roosh, and the Dark Order. Jose said he wanted 10 there specifically because when Roosh wins, he likes 10, so he'll get the first title shot. Already calling out title shots for Roosh. I like it. I like the confidence,
hell
Jose.
Yeah.
Uno, Reynolds, and Silver will never get one. Silver called Roosh a Roosh bag, and there was a pull apart. And yeah, so this storyline is still hanging on here. 10 and Roosh. I don't know what the end game is, other than maybe 10 joining their little group.
I think the end game is Roosh versus Hungy. I think that's clearly what they've been going with this the whole time. This whole 10 storyline was just to get to that match, which is really silly.
What if they have a 17-minute bloodbath on a Rampage?
I'm here for it.
You down with it?
Go for it.
Fucking bloodbath.
Fuck it. We had an Orange Cassidy versus Shibata bloodbath. Let's go for it again.
Let's run it back. Ari Daivari is in the ring with Trust Butler Jeeves-ke. And he wants the TNT title, which immediately brought out Wardlow and Samoa Joe. And there's an impromptu TNT title match on our hands. Here's the thing. And it's over. Wardlow just beats his ass. 1, 2, 3, 4 power bombs. Correct? Yeah, 4.
Something
power
like
bomb
that.
Symphony. The crowd's doing their thing. La da 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 da. Powerhouse Hobbs was called out and came to the stage. And Wardlow said the TNT title will always be his. And it take every title in the company. Samoa Joe right on cue.
Wait, that includes the women's championships. Hold on.
Ayo. Samoa Joe right on cue wiped out Wardlow when he heard that line, choked him out with a sleeper. Joe stared Hobbs down the ramp, said he kicked Joe's ass too. So these guys are not in they're not in cahoots here. But is this setting up a triple threat at Full Gear?
God, I hope not.
Is this going to be the meat slapping meat fest of all meat kind?
I mean, if it is the meat slapping meat fest, it'll be a hell of a lot of meat getting slapped. That's all I have to say.
Damn. And I'm cool with it, I guess, right? I mean,
Wardlow's beset on all sides by enemies. I guess that's the story they want to constantly tell with Wardlow.
Before, they totally fucking missed the camera shot, by the way, here. Joe went to go crack him, and they turned away. Someone got reamed out for that.
There's like four times recently I can think of this happening. It happens all the time in AEW. I don't know who the fuck that was switching the board for them.
Yeah.
But fucking hire me to do it. I've literally done it before. Not for an actual television show, but in practice at the very least, and done it successfully. So
yeah, that was
like,
yeah. So
it's something they teach you in college these days. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Anyway, and honestly, I think that's more on the producer than it is on the actual person switching it, if I had to guess. But
yeah, the person calling the shots.
Yeah.
I think
is Tony.
I don't think he's calling the shots in the truck.
That's usually who did in WWE was Vince, wasn't it? Who would call
the
camera
shot? That was that fuck Kevin something.
Oh, that's right.
Dunn?
Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
That's who would.
So
that's true, actually. Fair enough. I forgot about that.
So Renee All Paquette, right. She's backstage with Jade Cargill and the Baddies. That sounds like a music stage name. Jade Cargill and the Baddies. It's official at Full Gear with Jade versus Nyla Rose for the TBS title. Jade said she'll handle Nyla on Rampage. Okay.
Okay.
We love Renee Paquette backstage, by the way.
Absolutely.
She is still just a nice
slowly holding down the entire
a nice presence,
section.
Honestly. Like, genuinely. Yes. So
legitimizing, too, it feels like. Because she's, like, legit. Like, she's worked with WWE and all that, you know?
Then let's jump into Dr. Britt Baker and Saraya face-to-face. Now, the promo wasn't 100% clean, right? This wasn't the cleanest promo possible.
No.
But the passion was there.
Can I say something, though? I think it might be the actual best women's promo segment in AEW history, which is not saying much, but, you know.
The passion in it may have made it. And now, Dr. Britt Baker and Saraya, they were exchanging blows. You could tell Saraya here was on the verge of tears because she's finally able to say she's 100% cleared. And, you know, the thing that the crowd didn't really react to was the line of, you know, Saraya saying to Britt Baker, really, you don't know what it like, kind of like you don't know what it takes. They didn't react to it well at first. Like,
okay, I gotta say, I saw some people arguing that she couldn't say that to Britt Baker because Britt Baker's been wrestling for 3 years in AEW now, and I was like, yeah, but that's her entire career.
Exactly. So I like the crowd didn't react to it because Britt Baker has been their biggest star, but that's okay.
Yeah, like to them, to an AEW wins. Fan, Britt Baker is the biggest women's wrestling star in the world. Because if you just watch AEW women's wrestling, that's what you'd think. But if you watch any other women's wrestling, you'd know that's obviously not the case. Britt is very up there. I think Britt makes the top 10, but maybe the top 20. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to say that comparing her to other AEW women's wrestlers. They've had longer careers. It's just not fair to Britt. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. So there were some really good lines here. One of them was Saraya. One of them was Britt saying to Saraya that she's jealous of her old, leaving her old house to walk into Britt's, that she doesn't like walk-ins, and bitch, make an appointment, which even popped Taz. again, I play my Taz thing here. Soraya said Baker was given her position by Tony Khan, fed QT Marshall's trainees, and been in front of the camera for 3 years. While Soraya has been in this game for 17 years, she was hit by a car, wrestled the same day. She loves this business. To me, we had our John Moxley, I want the ball. This is our Soraya. How do we... Is this her she loves this business promo? Or is this her 100% cleared promo? We'll figure it out over time, but she went on to say she'd been embarrassed publicly, battled drug addiction publicly, given her neck to this business. And I think at this point, the crowd is totally back after the Tony Khan lines and stuff like that that they didn't really react to. But man, Garrett, this was... this was some good shit.
It's her Britt Breaker promo. No, I'm just kidding.
The Britt Breaker. And no, we've had some really good monologues this week.
She's going to be the third wrestler to give Britt a bloody nose.
Yes. Hey, man, on Andor this week, we had some insane monologues. And Payne and Paige, wow. Soraya here. Shame. Soraya here cut a really beautiful promo. And yeah, so... clearly, any other thoughts on this? And Soraya and Britt Baker at Full Gear, she's 100% cleared. Awesome.
I'm excited. I'm really this is a wrestler that I got to see right as she was like coming into the business, and I was super excited. She became one of my favorites real fast, and then her career ended. And then there was like a second chance with the when she brought in Absolution, and then a third chance when she brought in the Kabuki Warriors, and none of that worked out. So I'm just glad to see Soraya actually getting a chance to potentially get another chance at being a top women's wrestler in the world, because I think she is. I think she always has been, but she's never really had a chance to show that in a really meaningful way, and I think this is her shot, and I think it starts with Britt Baker at Full Gear.
This is going to be a big match. We got three women's matches at Full Gear. That's something that we had been talking about and that Soraya had been talking about. So it's really nice. She dropped her with the formerly known Rampage to Stand Tall. So I'm sure that'll get a little a new name. Backstage, Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, and Satnam Singh are with QT Marshall, The Factory. Dutt paid Cole Carter for his services last week until best friends Orange Cassidy and Danhausen interrupted. Lee Johnson and Orange Cassidy for the Atlantic title was made on Rampage, while Trent Beretta and Jay Lethal was made literally right now. And it's actually a really funny, just the way that this started with Sanjay, Jay Lethal, and Satnam Singh. They're just kind of doing their own thing.
Sup, scumbag.
I just imagine they're just doing, you know, heel business.
What do you call me a scumbag for? You want to fight me about it? I'm sure, we'll have a match.
It's just like, this is straight out of The Office.
Actually, that's like perfect. That's what it felt like to me, especially the way that Sanjay and Jay were sitting in the scene, the way they framed it. Like, I bet that's how they were thinking.
They're just in their little corner healing it up. That's what I'm going to call it. They're healing it up. And
healed it up.
Just, this is the way it had to go. This is the way.
Satnam's being a big boy.
Big, strong boy. So, Jay Lethal, Trent Beretta, take us through this. What did you think about this match, Garrett?
Yeah, it's good stuff. It wasn't like a spectacular match or anything. Like, I hope these guys actually get a chance when one of them has a championship, because I feel like that match is incredible, but this match is just, it's fine. They worked the leg a little bit. They did some good stuff. Weirdly, I said in my notes, I kind of wish it had a little bit less time. I think maybe it went a little long is what that means.
Okay.
Which is probably fine. When Satnam got knocked off the ring, he landed on his feet, Charlie.
Pretty nuts.
What the fuck? That's not natural.
He's a freak.
Yeah, so I want to see more from Satnam. I really like Satnam. He looks like an athletic freak. So that's all. Satnam is a distraction around Jay Lethal right now. We need to do something with Satnam. I think that's what this notes tells me. It's a good match, though. I like Trent. I like Jay. Both are kind of just in the middle of stuff right now, you know, with Orange Cassidy not really having... Do we have an opponent for Orange at the pay-per-view yet? I don't think so.
I don't think so. So
I don't even know who that would be. So maybe it'll just be a random challenge on the show. That could happen. That would be really, really, really awkward, though, on a pay-per-view. But it's Orange Cassidy.
If you pull something out of your ass like a Shibata, though, people will react.
Right, exactly. I don't know who that would be. You know who would be awesome? because he's already had an All-Atlantic Championship match this year. It would be great if they brought in Shooter for that. But
okay.
Because then you get Shooter on Jon Moxley, big vulgar pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'd buy in.
Oh, God. The next segment. Kill me.
Tony Schiavone tried to interview Sanjay and crew, but was told to buzz off as he introduced Jeff Jarrett. Hearing My World. So My World was on AEW Dynamite. Jarrett said his debut had a million views and ran down his accomplishments of Dutt, Lethal, and Singh. I really like the putting over of Satnam Singh, because that is a very important thing that they need to mention when he wrestles. This is a big deal. He was the first ever born Indian in the NBA. That's a big thing.
It's massive. So he's massive.
He's screaming this whole fucking promo. He's calling out Sting and Allen. He's trying to get a stagehand, trying to wrap him up. All right. I'm going to say it right here. He's the third one in about 2 months to do this. The wrapping up of the stagehand thing is dead. Jarrett killed it officially. I don't want to see it ever again.
Is it actually a planned segment? Because if it is, it's the worst planned segment ever.
It is, because he put the guitar through him, right? He tried to. No, this is MJF's was clearly planned. Eddie Kingston's was planned, and this was planned. I don't like it. It works with MJF and Eddie Kingston because we fucking buy it with their characters.
Well, we also agree with Eddie Kingston and continue this promo. Like, we
agreed,
don't,
and so it's time to end.
Like, that's why Jarrett's getting wrapped up, because no one wants to hear that.
It worked the first time really well, so they clearly were like, Eddie, go ahead and try this. It worked well with him. You don't need Jeff fucking Jarrett to do it. I don't care about this match.
It's also weird that now 2 weeks in a row he's run down people on the crew. That's so strange. It's like a fucking breaking in of the crew that I'm not into at all. That I think just is not necessary.
It's not needed. Yeah, anymore. This was really. Yeah,
and if that's all storyline and I'm getting worked, brother, then Jarrett, Sting, I'm sorry, and Darby, your storylines fucking suck. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Sting and Allen versus Lethal and Jarrett. Renee Paquette is backstage with Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Can I say, I bet the match is going to fucking be great, by the way. I think it'll be a great match, but it'll probably not matter at all.
I don't want to see Jarrett wrestle in this company. I don't care for that. And I don't think this match is going to win me over, because him and Sting in the ring, it's really not going to, it's fucking Undertaker Shawn Michaels.
It will not be the worst Jeff Jarrett match you watched this year.
That's fair. Sting has been fucking awesome. So I'm going to give him his credit.
It can't be worse than a Ric Flair's match. If it's worse than a Ric Flair's match, then I'm retiring as a wrestling person.
Jungle Boy Jack Perry. He said Luchasaurus and Christian Cage don't decide when it's over for them. He's a champion. He's a challenge regarding Full Gear for both of them, but he wants to do it face to face on Rampage. So,
this is Rampage, baby.
Rampage, baby. Jon Moxley is out there with Lord William Regal. This is a in-ring promo for Moxley. Lots of promos here. And he said he met Regal when he was 25 and full of piss and vinegar, thinking he knew it all. He wanted to be just like Regal, looking for his respect. He picked a fight with Regal, tortured Moxley, allowed Moxley to work harder, came back to get his revenge, knocking Regal's head off with a knee, referenced their feud in FCW. He said this reminds him of young MJF, who he fought in 2020, beat him, and now MJF wants his revenge. Beautiful story they're setting up here, by the way. I mean, they're laying the groundwork for their own story with this whole MJF and Regal and Moxley, like, kind of trifecta thing we got going on.
Well, it's like, because if we're being real, if you had planned out what MJF's title match was going to be, you would have done Punk, because that was the biggest story in AEW history. But because it's not that, you realize when you look at Mox versus MJF, because we've already done it, there's the history there, and AEW loves to do that, the callbacks to the previous matches in their own lineage, let alone previous matches outside of AEW. So I think on paper you'd say Punk, but if you actually really broke it down by the storyline history, it should be Mox, probably. Let's be real. He almost beat him once, then he got beat, which in a move that was technically banned, so it's a little unclean. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's that history there. So it makes complete sense for them to be for Jon Moxley to be the one that MJF beats for the championship. It actually makes a lot of sense storyline wise.
It does. And Moxley, his cadence here was just really, I loved his cadence of this promo and the back and forth, the slow talking. It was really good. He goes on to say, MJF puts on the image of a tough guy pro wrestler when his mother buys his clothes at JCPenney's. MJF calls himself a pillar when he doesn't know what it's like to have to carry anything on his back. Sheesh. God, man, what the hell? Between Saraya and Jon Moxley and fucking Andor this week, dude, we're just getting fucking these monologues. MJF also calls himself the devil, but Moxley said he's seen the devil and MJF is not it. Beautiful fucking line from Moxley here. Moxley said he wants to know what MJF is made of, and at Full Gear, he's going to find out. Everything MJF has done up to this point has been easy. So, yeah, man. Any other notes from this promo that you had that you like?
I'm really excited to see. Like, this is going to be a massive, massive match. MJF can only stands to gain no matter what happens. I'm just really excited to see where they go with it, man. And we haven't even talked about this yet because I feel like if we do, it's going to make us so anticipated. But Charlie, how great is this match going to be in the ring too? Oh my fucking God.
I really think
Mox's role this year, if Mox puts on another banger with MJF, dude, I might have to give him Wrestler of the Year. I might just be Dunzo for Shunzo. I think that's going to be it. I think it's that match right there and the FTR match. Those are the last two matches we're going to watch. And then maybe what FTR does at, because that's going to be in December, right? That pay-per-view?
Yeah. So, and you know, MJF... So
that pay-per-view, whoever they face, that's got to be them versus the Elite, right? A Ring of Honor final battle?
Ooh. Could be. So...
Well, I guess the Elite have to have the championships then. But, well, I guess it doesn't have to be for all of them. They could try and win the Ring of Honors off of them. Anyway, my point is, FTR at final battle and Japan that we just heard about notwithstanding, I think that match could decide Wrestler of the Year right there for us.
Like, that's a good way of putting it. So another video package about the disappearance of the Elite is aired, this time with more highlights of their careers across the globe, including pic photos of them with Adam Cole, Cody, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Finn Balor.
Baby.
So the Full Gear design is shown with a ticking clock.
I miss Adam Cole.
I really do too, man. I also miss Cody.
Can we have Adam Cole do some managing for a little bit for Reynolds and Silver as Budge, please?
Budge. Oh, there's a big old debate online this week about a lot of people feel like AEW hasn't felt the same since Cody left. Oh, Cody finally admitted he was a heel, by the way, on Twitter. This is something we had talked about last year when we were doing the show, his run last year in January. Cody was the fucking heel this year. Actually, it was this year in January. You can go back on our shows. We mentioned multiple times, Cody is the heel. This is the storyline, but some people just never bought it. So, hey, whatever.
Yeah. A lot of people just refused to accept that he had accepted it. Yes. Point. And we were like, no, he's leaned in. He's not so brash that he's refusing the crowd at this point. He knows that's why he's leaning into it more, because he knows it's going to get heat. You know, like, it's not like he was literally just doing it because he knew, like, it was getting him more heat. We've seen what people in wrestling do when they're getting heat when they weren't expecting to. They change what they're doing, and then it usually changes the reaction. You know what I mean? So he didn't change it. That means he knew what he was doing. It's silliness.
It's a whole thing, but, you know, I'm glad. I'm glad I remember that, too.
He used the heat that they were creating for themselves against them. It was great. It's brilliant. It was brilliant. It's why he's on such a roll right now. He's a brilliant wrestling mind. Like, let's be real.
I hope
like,
he wins the Royal Rumble. So a video package about Danielson and Guevara and their 2 out of 3 falls is shown. He said all the disrespect he's endured in the past month is going to result in him taking out his frustrations by kicking Guevara's head in. All right. So before that match, we have one more match. Jamie Hayter defeated Sky Blue with interim AEW Women's World Champion Toni Storm.
Hey.
A majority of this match took place during commercial. But yeah, this was really a Jamie Hayter establishment match of the sense of she can beat the shit out of someone, right?
Yes. We already know that.
We know that. But they wanted to get it on TV where she just fucking crushes someone straight up. That was the whole point here. And it's someone we all like. It's Sky Blue. They want Jamie Hayter to be the heel here. They want Toni Storm out there looking a little fearful, if you will. Great match to watch.
I agree with Taz. There's too many Tonys now. So is it Tom? Are we going with Tommy Schiavone or Matt Schiavone for Schiavone's new name?
I'm gonna go Matt.
Agreed.
Schiavone.
Schiavone.
Yeah, this hater ended up countering the
dude. There was a really clean code red actually that they hit.
Yeah,
is that code red? Is that like, is that Sky Blue's secret spot? Do you think that she's just super knows how to do well? Because it feels like it is.
Yeah, she hits that spin kick and then a code red.
Imagine her and Darby hitting that move together. It'd be incredible.
I like Sky Blue. I really do.
She's a really good wrestler. She just doesn't get used enough.
No. But I'm loving this little Madison storyline in with her. And
Yeah.
So Madison with one Y and two N's, but not where you think. All right. Video package of Brian Cage and Dante Martin shown highlighting their title eliminator match on Rampage. All right. Alex Marvez is hoping to interview Ricky Starks about the title eliminator tournament. When he turns his head, Lance Archer has Starks by the neck.
Bro, Alex Marvez needs to stop being booked. Every time he's booked as the interviewer, someone gets the shit kicked out of them.
They really do, though. Hold on. What if we find out he's in on it?
Oh, shit.
What if he lets people? Because he knows he's going to get, like, alone time. So we get this whole thing where he's letting people beat the fuck out of each other.
He's just got like, what if, like, these are fake promo, these are fake interviews, they're just setups. Like,
what if someone puts out a hit piece in kayfabe and they're like, I've been leaning,
I'll tell you who needs to put out,
oh my
hit
god
piece.
I know who too.
It's Smart Mark Sterling.
Okay. I thought you were gonna go with the RJ City.
Oh yeah, RJ City would be great, but I don't, RJ City doesn't get on TV, so
Sterling
gets on TV enough, he could start a case against them, against maybe he, oh, I know how this works, you set this up. So you have a week where you don't have Woods there, and it's just Sterling and Tony backstage, and he gets the shit kicked out of him, and he sets a lawsuit against him, and yes! He's like, yeah, and it's not against the wrestler, it's against Marvin.
I'm so down. I am so down with this.
No one else will like this storyline, but it'll be hilarious for us.
No, dude, if you do it right, this could be awesome. He's the inside man, bro. He's the fucking rebel inside the Imperials. Lots of Star Wars tonight. I'm sorry. Andor's just fucking awesome. All right.
It's banger after banger after banger after banger.
But not where you think. All right. So Rampage time, Garrett. We get kicked off.
This is Rampage, baby.
We get kicked off. Jack Perry confronts Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. Our first taped Rampage in about a month. So I love not having taped Rampages. But the good thing about this taped Rampage, and I don't know if this is just the side of the internet I'm on, I never get spoiled on Rampage. And
I don't either. I don't think anyone watches it, is why.
Oh, fuck. Damn it. All right, fair. Oh. Christian.
It hurts, but it's the truth. Sometimes you have to say harmful things to be true.
Christian Cage insulted the people of Boston as unintelligent. He Perry blamed Christian Cage for costing him everything and said Luchasaurus wasted 3 years of his life.
Aww.
Perry wanted the odds stacked against himself and challenged Luchasaurus to a steel cage match at Full Gear. Cage accepted the challenge and told Perry to make sure his mom was at ringside, brought up his father. Perry went right for Cage's throat. Luchasaurus made the save and chokeslammed Perry on the open chair.
This is a good ending to this. They didn't do the, like, super obvious thing, which would have been to put them in the tournament against each other, which would have been good, but it wouldn't have made sense for their storyline.
Let another couple guys get some stakes on the line. Let this be the blood match.
Yeah, exactly. And I like a steel cage. We haven't had a steel cage match in a while. I think the last one we had was Thunder Rosa versus for the title, right?
I think if you want to do this the way I think it could be done, Jack Perry, Luchasaurus, open the show.
Okay.
Because let Jack Perry's music hit. All of a sudden, the crowd is super into the music. They're super into it. Perfect opener. You let Luchasaurus still win.
Yeah, I think you could still do that. You can open the show
Luchasaurus has to win this again. Now, I understand Jack winning. I would totally get it. He's the babyface. Yeah. They could do what they've done with Darby Allin for years and have him win the unimaginable feud. Other than CM Punk, he wasn't winning that one. But I think Luchasaurus is a special big man,
mm-hmm.
Right? Now that you have Morrissey here, don't don't get blinded that you have landed on, like, how do I phrase this? Don't get fucking blinded here because you have all these good big men now.
Yes.
Still keep them as super strong. And Luchasaurus, whether it's Lance Archer, I know he's not like tall, but Powerhouse Hobbs, Wardlow, Morrissey, Satnam Singh, Luchasaurus, and if anyone else I'm forgetting, you can have Brian Cage in there, but he's also not that tall. Yeah, him and Joe, they're not that tall, so I'm not like, I don't know. There's ways, they're big men, right? But you know what I mean?
They get treated the same, so it's, yeah. I think it's fair.
So, but Luchasaurus, he has this element to him where he's 6'6", 270, and yet he has these moments where you would fucking always forget it, and he has these big spotlight moments. Don't let him lose this. You can treat him as Christian's henchman for now, but when he eventually turns on Christian and beats him too, when you know, whether he's a champion then and that's his babyface turn, there's serious money in him as a heel. And I think if done right, now I know Wardlow's in 8 storylines right now, so we haven't really, I don't want to touch it too hard, but this is something we've mentioned recently. Luchasaurus and Wardlow, seriously.
That's money. Like, it could be like the best big man match in years.
Yes. So let it fucking happen. Book the shit. Let's get the fuck on with it, Garrett. Any other notes from this match or this promo?
Just good stuff. Jack got chokeslammed through the chair, so there's that. I mean, yeah, good stuff. I'm excited to see the steel cage match. Like I said, an appropriate stipulation to end the story on. So I'm excited to see that match even more than I already was now. So
Lexi Nair interviewed the Death Triangle. Pac tried to convince his teammates of the power of the hammer and winning by any means necessary. Tapping his world title trio's belt with the hammer.
Dude, added these emphasis. Pac promos about the fucking hammer are actually incredible. I'm sorry,
why do I like it so much?
He's convincing me I'm going to cheat in my everyday life now.
It's son of a bitch.
I'm just kidding.
That son of a bitch. Brian Cage.
Now I'm never losing another game of MLB The Show, brother.
I just pick up a Cronus. Brian Cage defeated Dante Martin in the first round of the Eliminator Tournament. Ricky Stark's match with Lance Archer will take place next week. So, yeah. Cage caught Martin pretty early here for an out-of-the-ring dive.
He literally caught him.
Yeah, and a vertical suplex in a really good spot before the match like even got going. So it went to a split-screen break. We come back. Cage kind of just runs him over, right? I mean,
well, he kind of just beat him down like relentlessly. It was like he knew he couldn't beat Dante's speed, so he just went after him. He tried to keep up with the pace, even though, like, I'm so glad they're not doing the silliness what they used to do with him a little bit, where he would get gassed out a little bit. I don't know if he just improved his cardio or like if they were intentionally blaring that in because he's a bigger guy.
Yeah,
but, like, either way, I like that he just kept up with Dante's speed, but still was doing his style of offense. Like, he wasn't conceding anything to Dante. He was just trying to keep up to counter the speed. It's like the only time I've seen anybody do that, because most people just try and slow him down, you know? But that was not the method here. It was interesting.
It was a nice little touch.
Also, Dante in the ring now is so smooth, dude. Like, let's just rewind 8 months ago. He was really good, but he just had was a lot of potential. But now he's like purely a good wrestler, I think, which is really great to see.
He's a fucking star, man. Like, seriously. So, yeah. Cage hit the Weapon X, a modified gory special for the pinfall. And, yeah, a little sad that Martin's out, but yeah, I totally get
Dante
it.
Dante gets eliminated here. Of course, every fucking bracket for an AEW tournament I have gets busted the first week after I fucking form it.
Has been busted. So, Hook and his chips interrupted a Lee Moriarty interview when Moriarty threw out an open challenge to anyone but Gold. House of Black vignette in the video. Buddy Matthews, Brody King, and Malakai Black died.
Are we that over Hook that we're just skipping? All right, fair enough. All right.
Well, I mean, okay. Hook and Moriarty.
I mean, I don't have faith in it either because they're just going to have Lee get beat in 2 seconds. But I mean, hey.
Yeah. Julia Hart has resurrected the House of Black. Fucking metal. That's all I gotta say.
Literally.
I mean, that is fucking metal. I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
I was saying these segments, like, if they had more substance to them, they'd be my favorite thing every week because they're fucking so well shot and so well done. Like, this looks like a fucking trailer for a goddamn horror movie.
It really does. So then we get into our Bandito and Rouge matches we've already covered. Rene Paquette tried to interview Claudio Castagnoli, but Jake Hager interrupted and invited Claudio to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That's Jake Hager's mentality.
Exactly.
Nyla Rose defeated Kayla Sparks in a TBS title open challenge.
Hey, Kayla Sparks from Dark, though, were the ones that I've noted as being one that I like.
Yeah, so, that's cool to see her on Rampage. The way that this read in the quotations, TBS title open challenge, it's like, they're going a little far with it. But you know what? She used the pump kick to mock Jade, finished Sparks off with the Jaded. I'm fine with all that. You know, imitation is the, what's the term there? The finest form of
flattery. The imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
There you go. Cargill and her baddies try to run out and get the T-Best title back. Rose handled the baddies, but Cargill destroyed her with a pump kick. So, yeah, Rose has been in her head and has the advantage. Cargill handled her ass easily. And, yeah, Rose's security kept them apart. So, yeah, they finally touched, at least. This has been a long-going feud. By a fucking mountain, the longest going TBS title feud. So hopefully the next one, though, just a little bit better structure, I guess, is the right term here.
You're so trying to be nice right now. I hope it's an actual storyline that anyone can give two shits about. All right.
Yeah, it needs a little bit better structure here.
Like, you can have non-storyline wrestling championships, too. Look at the All-Atlantic.
I just Orange hope we're, is literally we're just being like, away.
Hey, what if we had a match to anybody, and it's great? Like, you could do that with Jade, too. Not like that, but, like, have her just defend against whoever. And it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Like, we did that for months. Just feed the whole division to her again. You've got no other options at this point. Like...
Yeah, unless you want to do this new Athena and you run it that back, and that's when you finally drip.
You're going to put you're going to put an evil Athena against a technically still heel Jade. I don't understand that at all.
They don't either. So, yeah, man. So we get some stuff about Dynamite next week.
Yep.
Jump into our main event.
Darius Martin is back, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
They just threw that on Rampage. I guess fuck Darius Martin.
Well,
I guess,
no, he's in the match on Dynamite now. So Death Triangle is facing Top Flight and AR Fox.
It's going to be a hell of a match.
Totally down with that. So, yes, Orange Cassidy.
The Flippy Brethren.
Takes on Lee Johnson in the main event. Garrett.
Bro, the pre-match promo, I got a little pop out of Orange Cassidy.
I was going to say, I'm going to let you take the lead here. These are your guys.
In the pre-match promo, we had a little bit of back and forth here. You know, Shoddy Lee was like, yo, I'm a good wrestler and all that. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. I think QT did most of the talking. And then as soon as it got cut over to Orange, he pulled out the mic out of his jacket and said, well, it looks like there's been enough talk. And I was like, yes, just keep stealing Mark's line. Because you know it's making Mark Henry go, God damn it. So that's good. But and then the match was actually really good. They had some really quick and athletic stuff at the start. We got some devastating kicks to the back of Lee Johnson. Big shoddy. And Danhausen got pile driven on the steps. I don't know what the hell that was about, but that was awesome. We had that was almost a – that could have been a Simmons Award, but I wasn't going to give one to QT, so –
damn.
So QT deserves nothing but the sign that says he has got robot legs. Until that sign exists, he deserves nothing. That's the new meta. Anyway,
this is the way.
So no credit even. All his wrestlers were good anyway. Anyway, there was some outside interference all over the place, which is kind of, you know, classic at this point in all this. So who cares? There's no, you know, the referees were supposed to be getting the tightened hold on anything, and you got people getting pile driven on the steps. So whatever, I guess that's out the window. I like the aggression from Lee Johnson, which I believe if we're going continuity wise, Charlie, right before he left because of injury or whatever the reasoning was that he had to go and not be on TV for a while there. I believe he was getting slightly more aggressive in his styling before then. So it was kind of leading into this, him potentially going back to QT stuff, which is it all makes sense, even if you go back. I don't know how I have that long of a memory, but I do know that for a fact. That was what was going on before he left. So
yeah.
The best friends cleared out the squad of goons. And by the way, a little side note here. Before every match with this is only something I've ever noticed. But before every match that Remsburg referees for OC, he always hands them his sunglasses. And I've actually seen quite a few indie matches where Remsburg was the referee for OC. So that's just a little side, you know, maybe no one would notice this, but they're just obviously so tight that even though normally he puts the glasses on and keeps them on for as long as possible in the match, he trusts Bryce Remsburg enough to protect what I would assume is Orange Cassidy's most prized possession besides the All-Atlantic Championship, which is those sunglasses.
Hell yeah. That son of a bitch.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody cares about that, but I love that little friendship between him and Remsburg.
No, it's pretty cool. Like that, the wrestling lore that we like to talk about, you know. So,
and that was Rampage. Yeah, there wasn't anything else that I had really that took down. It was a really good match. I didn't think it lived up to the hype that I'd put it to in my head. I think Lee's just kind of settling back in. Maybe that's part of what it was, but it was still a great. I love Shoddy Lee getting a title shot, man. Like
I do too. And Orange Cassidy is on a nice roll right now. I mean, Lee is 24 years old, so this is awesome to see. I mean, one of the first when AEW was getting rolling there, him and the Gun Club joining the Nightmare family, you know, little things like that, that we love to see it. So yeah, that'll be it for us. We, real quick, let's run through the Dynamite and Rampage cards next week. Claudio Castagnoli and Brian Danielson versus Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. Fun little match. Ethan Page versus Bandido. Tony Storm versus the Bunny.
Who?
Death Triangle versus Top Flight and AR Fox. Anthony Bowens versus Swerve Strickland. Interviews from Moxley, MJF, Joe, Britt Baker, and Saraya. And the acclaimed music video, A Hand for a Hand. Nice.
Yay.
With special guest, Jamie Lannister. We then jump into some Rampage next week. Japanese wrestling legend, John Akiyama, will be making his AEW debut next Friday, live edition of Rampage. He will be wrestling with the returning, the undefeated world champion, John Akiyama and Kinosuke Takeshita, taking on Eddie Kingston and Ortiz Garrett. Bruh.
Yeah, Jun Akiyama versus Eddie Kingston is a dream match of Eddie's that he's been wanting to have for a long time.
Yeah.
This is obviously going to be the setup match for that match, probably back in DDT, I'm guessing. We talked about this a while back. I would love for Kinosuke to come back with somebody from DDT and then for them to send a couple of people from AEW to DDT.
I'm so glad Takeshita's here.
If that's Eddie and Ortiz, dude, can you imagine the matches they could have over there? My God. But
that'd be really cool.
Because Ortiz can sell for people over there like crazy. I'm not saying he needs to go over there and lose a couple matches, but if he did, it'd be incredible, you know? Because he could make some really big, like some stars over there. He could make, if they showed it on, like, say, on Dark or something like that, like that could be really cool. But anyway, yeah, I'm so excited to have the return to America of Kinosuke Takeshita, Mr. Cinnabon himself. And he's teaming up with none other than Jun Akiyama to take on Eddie Kingston. I mean, that is just
really cool
if
stuff.
If you know your old school Japanese wrestling, if you know your All Japan lore, you'll know that Jun Akiyama was one of the people that was being mentored by the original Four Pillars. And so if you know anything about wrestling, you know the significance of that. So Jun being on AEW television is kind of insane. I'm really excited for that match.
Same. So yeah, this will be some cool stuff, man. That's what we got for next week. And so next week we'll have our Eat, Sleep, Elite show. God, what most likely, because when is Full Gear? It's on Saturday, right? Yes. So
yeah,
we'll probably have Eat, Sleep, Elite up Saturday morning then. So we'll probably record it after Rampage, right? On Friday.
This is Rampage.
So it'll be up super early Saturday or late Friday if you're on the West Coast. Or in Hawaii. So, yeah. And then we'll have a prediction show for Full Gear. And then the Full Gear review, which our pay-per-view review shows seem to be our best show. So, shout out to you guys. And I'm sure some of you, that's the first show you found of us. So, we really appreciate it. And Triple Threat next week with us. So, We'll catch you guys on the flip side.